God's command is to believe in Jesus and to love one another. Let me just run through very quickly, and I pray, concentrate, so that, not on me, but hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Now, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He gave us the command, 1 John 3:23. There is one command that God gives to us, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. The word is believe and love. It comes together. There is no distinction between believing and loving God's people and loving God. So often we decide, we come into God's thing and we say, God, this is what it is. Okay, I want salvation. I want to believe. I want to spend my time in heaven. And then we pick and choose what we have to do. Friends, in some sense of the word, there is no picking and choosing. But I said earlier that God gave us control over our lives. It is for us to choose whether we want to believe or not. But the true Son of God does not pick and choose what He wants to believe. The one who says that he believes in Jesus Christ, that this is God's Son, will love one another. That is a command from the Lord. It is a given from the Lord. And the blessing that we have when God gives us a commandment is that God empowers us with all that we need to do it. So even if you think about the most terrible person that you know, and he says that he's a Christian, we are able to love that person because God gives us the empowering to do it. The question is whether we choose to do it or not. It's not easy. It's not simple. But let us not stop at it is not easy and it is not simple. Too often we have given ourselves concession because we say that it is not easy and it's not simple. And therefore the unwritten acceptance is that we don't have to do it if it is not easy and it's not... What did I say? Not simple. Friends, the Christian life is not for you and I just to sail along in life according to how the world would do it. But the Christian life is all for God, our Father. Because God the Father has called us to live a life in fullness of the Father. And whatever thoughts that we have of this world, that this world can provide, nothing can compare to what the love of God has for us. If you have not experienced the fullness of God, if you have not experienced the power of God, then everything else that the world has provided for you thus far falls so far short of it. And the Father will not give and put into our hands unless He knows that we are responsible for it. The Father is looking for people whom He can trust. I know He loves every single one of us and He's ready to accept every single one of us. But amongst all of us who have believed in Him, the Father is still reaching out and saying, would you be responsible for this? The Word of God says that he who is responsible for small things will be given larger things to do. It is a principle of God. The Lord will not put you in a high place unless and until He knows that you function well in a low place. That's the training of God. That's the presence of God. No one will trust you if you have not been faithful to listen to what the Lord says and to do the things of God. How can it be? So the Word of God says very clearly to us that there is one command that God gives to us and that we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to love one another. Can you see again the difference? It is impossible to love one another in the Christian way without believing God. So let me say this very clearly. If you think that you are doing well and that you're able and say, well, I'm very cordial to everybody. I say hi, I shake hands, I do high fives, I do low fives, and I do every other kind of five there is. But loving one another has got a permutation. What is that Christian way? Oh, too small, can't see. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. This is the Christian way of loving one another. This is the way we're supposed to function with one another. Can you do this without Jesus Christ? Without believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive others. Can you do that without Jesus Christ? We could once, twice, three times, not a lady, but three times, no more forgiving. I'm sorry. In America, three strikes, you're out. Finish. You know, this is a battle for me, and I struggle with this a lot. I accept everybody until a point where it doesn't work anymore. Then it's struck off. And I keep coming back to God and say, God, forgive me for this, because I struggle with this. I cannot. Because if you love whoever you love, then I must love that person as much as you. And again, we give ourselves concession. But he is God and we are not God. You know, we are human beings. There's a limit to human beings, you know. I know. Tell me, I know painfully that there's a limitation to human beings. But that is why Jesus said to us that you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't have that belief deep in your spirit, then nothing that God says to you can be done, nor will it be done, because you don't believe in it. You must believe that this is the Word of God. You must believe that this is the Son of God. And in Him, and in Him alone, we are able to do this. And listen to what Colossians says, and to all these virtues, add love, which is your perfect bond. Let the peace of Christ be in control of your heart, for you were in fact called as one body to this peace, and be thankful. That's the Christian way. To know that we were all called together, tall, short, fat, thin, whatever. We were all called together. But if we're all called together, then there is room for us to move together, isn't it? There is room for us to walk together. Amos 3 says, how can two people walk alongside if they don't agree? Isn't that why the church is not able to do the things of God in a real, effective, efficient way? You know, so often we look at the world and we look at certain companies of the world and we say, wow, they're really effective, they're really efficient. Why? Because they've got only one thing in mind, make profits. And when they make the profit, everybody in the company runs for that. Everybody works towards that. The salesman goes out and closes the deal. The manufacturing guy makes sure that the goods are ready. The guys on the chain, the administrators, the HR people, they all have one purpose. Make their profit for the company. What happened to the church? What happened to us? Do we hear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Lord? Do we hear that? Okay, we hear that. But do we run together with that? It's a command that the Lord has given to us. It's not simple. It is not easy. But let's not stop there. Because the church who sings this chorus, it is not simple, it is not easy. And if we keep singing this chorus, we would have a very dull song to sing to the world. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and exalting one another with all wisdom, singing hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, all with grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is loving one another. This is the loving one another. Let the Word of God richly dwell in you. The Word of God richly dwell in you means that there needs to be not teaching only, but there needs to be learning. There needs to be exalting and lifting one another up. There needs to be wisdom. There needs to be an understanding of God, what is it that you're saying? There's a coming together of our spirits. There's a recognition of what God is doing in each other's lives. We need to do that because that's the Christian way of loving. Whatever you do in the name of the Lord, do this. Now, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He gave us the commandment. The Word of God, His commandment. God doesn't speak to someone else first. This is His command, and God has given it to us. There is a start point. There is no point demanding and asking someone else to behave themselves if you yourself are not doing it. But if you are doing it, that doesn't give you a right or a position to impose, but it gives you a right to be a model, to stand and say, this is how I believe God. This is who God is to me. And God has given us. And of course, this is written specifically to John. John says he gave to us the apostles, and the apostles lived their lives that way. But friends, the message for us is this, that God gave us the commandment. And we'll see that again later. But God gave us the commands so that we could live. We would know Jesus Christ. We who know Jesus Christ as Lord, we need to love one another. The second thing is that God gave His Holy Spirit who resides in us. God gave us the Holy Spirit. The person who keeps His commandments resides in God and God in him. Now, by this we know that God resides in us by the Spirit He has given us. You know, confession of our understanding today and... Oh, I think I got to move one more. Okay, God in Him and in us and doesn't move. Oh, okay. It moves, but it's a bit slow. The person who keeps God's commands resides in God and God in him. Again, there is not an outside thing. It is something that lives within us. God comes and lives within our spirit. That is why in everywhere you are, and this is how we debunk this whole thing about being Christian and holy only in church, because God is in you, and wherever you are, God is with you. He resides in you. But it is to the person who keeps His commands. And when God says He resides, God resides in us. He lives in us. You know, confession. Let me see the next verse. And then it says, let me just do this. And it continues in 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as the Christ who has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now it's already in the world. Confession, in our understanding today, is just a verbal thing. I just say it. Confession, sometimes we think as speaking out our sins and telling God, God, I did this wrong. But in reality, confession is to express a belief that we have in us that you are willing to follow after or you are willing to die for. If you were to confess your sins, how we normally put it, it is to agree with God that, God, this is sin. I believe that this is a sin, and therefore I confess it before the Lord. To confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is not just to say Jesus is Lord. But to confess it means that we are willing to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are willing to die for Jesus Christ. We are willing to follow in Jesus' footsteps. It is not advantageous for one to confess Jesus Christ at the writing of this epistle. Because in the early church, to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, it most probably means that you will be tortured and very possibly put to death. This was not theory to them. It was not mental to them. It was not just a word of... It is not lip service to them. To confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is to almost certainly declare that I am ready to die for Jesus Christ. That's confession. So the spirit that confesses Jesus Christ, that He has come in the flesh, the one who decides that, yes, I know Jesus Christ, is the one who has decided that he will live his life fully for Jesus Christ. Friends, as much again as I can put it, as gently as I can, there is no other. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, there is none other. There is no other way to live this. There is no other way for us to say that, yeah, on the one hand, I confess Jesus, you know, but then I believe in the process and the disciple-making process so that we could come and be more and more like Jesus, and so that in the end, our decisions and our priorities will all be for Jesus. But know this, that as we journey this way, when we come into the presence of God, when we come into the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it is a desire on our part to say that let us grow, let us keep moving on to the Lord. God gave us His Holy Spirit who resides in us. You are from God, little children, and have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world's perspective and the world listens to them. We are from God, and the person who knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. John points out two very distinct perspectives here. Very, very distinct. One perspective is that of the world. That of the world speaks of an evil mind, an evil value, a value that seemingly may be right, but whose end is not for God. That value is one that comes against the work and the very presence of God. That's what the world is. And the other perspective that John will give to us is the one who knows God. I don't believe that John is referring to methods or methodologies. I believe that he's talking about spiritual perspectives. Because he says that the one who has the world's perspective, who speaks from the world's perspective, that means a person who can only see what is human to him. The person who can only see what is within our 70 or 80 years. The one who can only discern what is natural to us. It starts from there, what we can see naturally. But the Word of God says to us that the one who can discern what is in the Spirit, who knows God, is the one that will listen to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit who resides in us would be able to identify the Word of God. Faith can only happen when we hear the Word of God. And faith can only happen when we obey God. Tried to teach this on Friday night about faith. I said tried because I think that there's so much more we have to do. But we so often use this word faith without action. James tells us that that's dead. So often we think of faith as a mental assent. We just agree. Yeah, okay, yeah, can. And we say, oh, have faith. Oh, yeah, okay, have faith. And we do nothing about it. Friends, there's no faith. That is not faith. Faith requires us to step out. If I believe that I'm not going to fall when I step off this stage, not the steps, but I just take a... If I believe that I'm not going to fall and break my leg or sprain my ankle, would it be good enough if I just say, I believe? There's no faith. It could be a figment of my imagination. But if I believe, and I truly believe, then the action I take will be to step out. Is it not true? That's faith. So the Word of God tells us this. Faith without action is dead. So to know God, to begin to know the things that God is saying to us, requires us to obey. Otherwise, there's no faith. There's mental agreement. And believe me, friends, we could have 600 people here all mentally agreeing with something, and none of us want to go do it. It's possible. It's possible. We could all talk about a particular thing, but none of us want to do it. Then there is no faith. It's just coffee talk, chit-chat. And so often, my friends, we do this, isn't it? We do this in our lives, in our Christian fellowships. We talk about God. We talk about the Word of God, which is critical and needful. But when we come to that crux of applying and living it out, we fall short. We don't do it. And if we don't do it, there is no faith. We're not putting our faith into action. We think that we believe, but we don't really do it. Do you know God enough that when you speak the words, they are true words of God? Or do you speak without clarity and are misinformed about what God desires? Because we are from God. The person who knows God listens to us. That means what John is saying is that I know my God. I know the things that God has in plan. I can see it. I'm caught with this vision of what God wants to do. And if you know God, you will hear the word that is being preached. You would hear the word that John was then sharing with the people. And it is within our spirits then that this witness of the Spirit comes. You know, last week we had Pastor Les come and as he was speaking out to people and he was just speaking over the lives of some people, I felt my spirit jump and I said, yes, God, that is the word. I didn't tell the fellow, but this is the word. And I know that this is the word for this person. Because the Spirit dwells within us. And if you're sensitive to the Spirit, we know what God is doing. Are you living your life in a way that reflects the presence of God in your life? What things are you doing in your life that does not please God? We need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and get it right with Him. The only way that people will believe is when you are living it. The only way that people will believe is when you are living in it. They will speak of the world's perspective, and obviously the world will listen to them. The person who knows God listens to us. Okay. The third thing is a contrasting community is the one who loves one another in God's love. 1 John 4, 7 to 10, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been fathered by God and knows God. The person who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God is revealed in us, that God has sent His one and only Son in the world, that we may live through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Fathered by God. This is what the Word of God says. Dear friends, let us love one another. Everyone who loves has been fathered by God. The fathered by God means to have the same source, to have the same DNA in us. Do we live out the DNA of the Father? If we live out the DNA of the Father, it means that we love one another. And if we don't love one another, then can I ask you, what DNA are you living out? If we don't live the things of God and the ways of God, then who are we living out? We're living out natural man. And when we live out natural man, know that the prince of the air of this world, he controls too many things. He controls the systems of the world. He controls the world's perspective. And the people who speak with the world's perspective would be followers of the prince of the air who controls the world. But the sons of God who are fathered by God Himself, we must live out the DNA. And loving God, loving one another is the DNA of God. And if we are not doing that, then whose DNA are we living? Again, I say this with all gentleness and kindness and say there is a process of training and growing. We need to get into that process of following after God. Jesus grew in stature. Jesus grew. Jesus was never static in His life. He grew and He knew the Father. Friends, let us not be static in our life. Let us not give excuses in our lives to not grow in Christ. There's two evidences of God's love. One, God sent His Son, Jesus, to us so that we can live through Him. Number two, love means an atoning sacrifice. The evidence of God's love is clear to us. That God's love is revealed in us, that God sent His one and only Son for us. That is the clarity of what God's love is. And that God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. Friends, this is clearly the Word of God for us. Dear friends, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. Listen to this. If we love one another, God resides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we reside in God and He in us. that He has given us His Spirit. A clear sense of spiritual reality is what we need. God, if, dear friends, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Because the Word of God says that no one has seen the love of God. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God who resides in us and His love is perfected in us, then people will know. What would they know? They would know that there is a God present. They would know that there is a God who loves us. So friends, we come back to this thing again, isn't it? A clear sense of spiritual reality is what we need to have. He loved us first. We are all recipients of God's love. If we say that we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are recipients of God's love. And because we are recipients of God's love, God says to us that we are the only examples of God's love on earth. Which means that God is banging all His eggs on you guys and me. That if we don't go out and we don't love and we don't do these things, if we don't love each other, we are bad examples of our Father, of our God. We need to live out the DNA of God. Again, would you hear this from me? That this is not in condemnation, but this is in setting the standard for us. When God raises that standard and the banner of God is there, Lord, this is the banner of God. That the world will know that there is a God only when the people of God, you and I, will live in a different way. When we begin to live the life of Christ, when we begin to love one another, we are examples of God's love. If not, where would they get their example? And then we would have words like this. You know, even these other people who don't know, who are not Christians, they love more than the Christians. You know these other people? They are more generous than the Christians. You know these other people? They meet my needs more than the Christians do. And then you come to the Christian church, what do we do? What do we do? How do we live our lives? Are we ready? Are we open? Are we willing? Too often we are not. Too often, and I say this not just to you guys, but also to me, too calculative. Oh, if I do this, what would I get back? Oh, I've got no time. No time. But I need time for myself, you know, by the way. And we're too calculative. And we set out our own agendas. We set out our own timetables, such that even when God desires to come and change your timetable, we're not willing. We're not willing to do that. Friends, there is a clarity. The clarity is that we need to be clear of not just the situations around us physically, but we need to be so clear of spiritual reality. If you and I, and we are spirit, soul, and body, if our spirits, and if we're not living our lives according to the Spirit, then what are we living our lives according to? The only two other options. One is the soul and one is the body. We're three, right? If we're not listening to the Spirit who speaks to us, and if our spirit man, our inner man, is not growing stronger in faith, hearing the Word of God, obeying and building that faith, and then hears the Word of God again and obeys and builds that faith and hears the Word of God, if our spirit man is not doing that, then whose agenda are you running with? It can only be either our soul, which means our mind, our will, our emotions, or the body. And if you look at your timetable and look at your objectives and your motivations, would you ask the Lord to reveal to you as you spend time with Him, God, which of these things? Which of these things? I'm not saying be a hermit, yeah? I'm not saying go climb up the mountain and stay there forever. If the Lord tells you so, maybe, yeah? But in the daily lives that we live, we need to know, we need to be clear about what the Spirit has for us. So our joy, basically, is made complete when we believe in Jesus Christ. Our joy is made complete when we love one another. Our joy is made complete when we are good examples of God's love to the world. Our joy is made complete when we step out in faith to obey God completely. Praise God. And it suddenly occurred to me that I took on so much time that we probably don't have time for anything else. There is one more slide that we want to pray this in response to the Lord. As Elvin to come. The Word of God says this. Do we have that prayer? It is a scripture to us. And I want to ask that we pray this prayer together. Just read this prayer together. And as we read this prayer, I want to ask that we read it as a confession, as a readiness to follow after God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh no, not I pray to get alone, but let's do this together. Let's all read this prayer together. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God. God abides in Him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is also, are we in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
In the name of Jesus, we break every earthly thoughts that say we are not loved by God. Thoughts of how others have treated us unfairly.
Yes, Lord.
And therefore we are unable to love them. Thoughts that says unless the other party responds, we will not show love to them. And the fear of loving others. In Jesus' name, we break these thought patterns.
Yes, Lord.
And forbid them to function in our minds.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, release the faith into our hearts to obey God and to abide in Him.
Yes, right, Lord.
Release into our hearts the desire to live in the light of God and the strength to live out God's command to love one another just as Christ loved us. So, Father, help us to grow into the likeness of your Son so that we will live out the life of your Son in us, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen, Lord.